And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on January 29th, 2017. This is the WGN Radio Theater, program 150. We had a milestone, Lisa Wolf.
150.
150 shows. Wow. You've worked with me 150 shows.
I'm a patient girl.
Gosh, I will send you some kind of an award. Mike Estella's here, our executive producer. What's up, Mike?
Hello, sir. I'm very good.
And we have Elif Garris, our producer, in the booth. What's up, Elif?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys?
Good. She's from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show. All right.
She should be happy now.
Happy. And we have Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske. They're in here from Cats Pride, CEO and Vice President of Customer Success. And they're going to give away two prizes tonight, Lisa.
They sure are.
What are they?
We've been so excited. We've been talking about this for a long time. The night has finally arrived. We are going to give an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter away to two separate people. This will cover our December month, which just kind of got busy with the holidays.
Yeah.
And now, of course, somehow it's the end of January. I don't know how that happened.
Well, they're going to be on in just a few minutes. But we're going to listen to the Halls of Ivy this hour. Also, Broadway is My Beat and Inner Sanctum Mystery. So we do have classic radio for you. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity School, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV show Taken, which is a prequel to the 2008 film. Mm. And if you are the winner, you will get a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone audio dramas produced by Mr. Carl Amari,
our host. I hear those are
host.
Pretty good.
I've heard they're pretty darn good,
yeah.
too.
All right. That sounds good. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She was the star of the film Flashdance.
I didn't know you were such a ballet fan. I thought you just liked it in private.
All right. There you go. Was that you, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. Thought sounded just like you.
It did sound
312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Good job, Cara. Yeah. He's expanding his Mono musical
roll.
Horizons. So we're back. This is show 150 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I didn't know you were such a ballet fan. I thought you just liked it in private.
And we have Mark on the line from Chicago. Hey, Mark.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, fine.
Good. It's great to hear from you. And we're hoping that you can tell us, who is that actress?
Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals is right, and we are so happy to give you a Twilight Zone audio drama 4-CD set. It is hosted by Stacy Keach, produced by Carl Amari, and it is really exciting. The Twilight Zones are great, whether you're watching them on TV or listening to them on audio dramas. So thank you for calling in. We hope you appreciate it, and we hope you listen into the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Mark.
All right, our guests in the studio, Dan Jaffe, CEO of Oil Dry and their parent company of Cat's Pride. Dan, how you doing, buddy? Good
hey,
to
Carol.
See you.
Doing great. Hi, Lisa.
Good to
hey,
see
Dan.
You. And we also
and
have Dave.
Dave
Weiske, who is the VP of Customer Success. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Lisa, Carl.
Everybody
Happy
doing
New Year.
Good? Happy New Year.
We missed you last month. We're
yep.
glad you're back.
The holidays.
Well, we did. You know, Hanukkah started on the same day as Christmas. So
that's rare.
It wiped out both me and Dave.
Yes.
And so tell us about Cat's Pride. All of our listeners who own cats should know about Cat's Pride. And if they're not using Cat's Pride, we are asking you to switch over because you're missing out. You could have the best kitty litter product on the planet, and it's our sponsor. So Dan will tell you a little bit about Cat's Pride.
Yeah, and I could go on for the entire length of the show, but I won't do it. But I will focus on the key benefits, you know, the clumpability, the odor control, low dust, no tracking. Those are all the features and benefits that every consumer really wants out of a cat litter. And then on top of that, you get the fact that it's 50% lighter. Consumers use it by volume. They fill to 2 or 3 inches. And to the extent you can use a lighter density mineral, it can weigh less. So instead of having to lug home a 20-pound jug, you can bring home 10 pounds, which fills the exact same number of trays as that 20-pound of the competition.
Absolutely. That's great, because you don't want to be lugging that from the grocery store into your cart, into your car, back into your home. You know, you can have something half the weight. Same uses.
It's also really easy to spot, because I know I look for the green jug. It's got Catherine Heigl as a spokesperson. I know there's a limited edition jug out right now with her picture on it, correct?
Well, we have a wonderful relationship with the Heigls, and she's actually on the cover of People magazine this week. Her family is growing. They congratulations to them on the birth of their baby son. And the Heigls agreed to allow Catherine's image to appear on the front of our package, because we're running these TV commercials, and we found that consumers would come to the shelf and not necessarily know which one they were supposed to buy.
Right.
So we're running heavy TV now. We're actually sponsoring the Live with Kelly show leading up to the Oscars. And then we're going to be the major sponsor the day after the Oscars.
Wow.
Live with Kelly. I actually have to be at the studio at 4 a.m. Pacific time. Because if
you think, you get to hobnob.
Get to hobnob.
With the A-listers.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And so, yes, Catherine Heigl's limited edition image packaging with the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation. That's every time a consumer buys our litter, not only are they getting the best litter, but we then make a donation to help end the needless suffering to companion animals. We donate to the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation.
Terrific.
And then finally, if that wasn't enough, the fact that it is lighter means we can put twice as many units on a truck as our competitors, meaning we can cut the number of trucks in half. If every consumer switched to Cat's Pride, we would cut the carbon footprint from cat litter almost in half.
Right. So it's very green to use Cat's Pride.
And you know what
well.
I was going to say, Dave, maybe you could tell us about the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation and why that's meaningful and why we would want to donate to that.
Well, again, you're talking about every purchase. We're giving a portion of that purchase towards this effort. And I believe the success of this particular product has been phenomenal. And when you talk about this kind of an effort, the needless suffering of animals, people are going to connect to that, and they're really going to be able to really embrace this whole effort. So we are really excited thus far on how well the product is moving, and especially with this limited edition call out of seeing Catherine Heigl on the sleeve itself is going to be phenomenal. So we're really excited
right.
about how well this is going to continue on for the foundation and continuing to help their cause.
And folks, if you haven't seen the Catherine Heigl commercials, they're running a lot, but if you haven't seen them, you can go to YouTube and just type in Catherine Heigl Cat's Pride. You'll see the 4 commercials. They're fantastic. They're a lot of fun. And there's going to be some more commercials. They're going to create some more at some point down the road, but check these out. They're at YouTube, right?
Right.
All right. So we're going to, yes, go ahead.
Well, and Dave, where can they find
yeah.
the product?
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about just the general brick and mortar, we're talking, you know, like locally here in the Chicagoland area, Jewel, you can go to Jewel and get it. Mariano's has it. And I'm going to expand on outward to other parts of this great reach of WGN, Winn-Dixie, Stop and Shop, A&P, Demoulas, Safeway, Giant, the list goes on and on. But on e-commerce, we are exploding. We are seeing just incremental growth, because people are buying all their products that they don't want to lug around. And the great thing is we're lightweight, which is good for the shipping companies, because we're going to be 50% lighter. So Amazon, Chewy.com, which is just a big and up-and-coming riser, Walmart.com and Jet.com, which are starting a huge effort, because Walmart purchased Jet.com for $3.3 billion.
Wow.
And you think they're not going to focus on animal or pet products? I don't think so. So we're really excited about sitting down in Walmart in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about their energy behind really juicing their efforts on those respective sides. So e-commerce has been huge.
And Dave, I bought it at the pet store. I don't know what the name of it is, like pet Pet Supply Plus. That's what I thought. That's where I get it from as well.
So if I order it on Amazon, can I get a drone send it to?
No, not yet.
All right, so we're gonna give away two years' supply of Cat's Pride Kindler. Two lucky winners, right?
Let's do it.
Let's start off with Dan, and a little drum roll, please.
Oh, that was close.
Guess
that was definitely not a drum roll.
Okay, I picked up Sky Scanlon and her cat RJ from Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and this cat, I actually saw the image of this cat the other day, and it's got a broken leg, I believe, in the picture.
Oh, really?
Yes, so this is going to be good.
Wow.
Get that, nice. That leg worked
out. Okay, now we can have the clapping, Elif. There we are.
I was waiting for the next one.
Oh, okay.
All right, here comes the next one.
All right, Dave's going to pick one here.
We have Renee Eggleston. Her cat is Friskies of Chicago, Illinois.
All right, there we go. Two lucky winners. And we will send coupons for an entire year's worth of Cat's Pride kitty litter to both of those lucky winners. And we really thank you, Dan and Dave, for being our sponsor and informing our audience about Cat's Pride, because it is a fantastic product. Plus, it's green, and it does great things for these animals that need our help across the whole globe, thanks to Catherine's Foundation. So it's a perfect marriage, and we really appreciate you guys very, very much.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Both.
And next month, Dan and Dave will be here again to give another year's supply. Yep. So, folks, get your picture in. Do it right now. Get your picture in of your kitty cat. Send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Catspridephoto@gmail.com, and put your name and your cat's name and your city and state, and you're entered, and you may be a lucky winner next month. All right? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break, or should we go into our classic radio show? Quick break. Elif?
Let's go into our show.
Oh, let's go into the first show. All right. Halls of Ivy from April 28th, 1950. This is called the Schofield Prize. It stars Ronald and Benita Coleman, part one of the Halls of Ivy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin presents the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
That surround us here today, and we will not forget, though we be far, far away.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. As most of us know, teachers are intensely concerned with books. Many of them write books, too. Dr. William Todhunter Hall, the president of Ivy, is one of these. He finished writing a book early this spring and, with mounting anxiety, has been waiting to learn of its acceptance or rejection by his publisher. At the moment, Dr. Hall and his wife, the former Victoria Cromwell of the English stage, are in the living room of their home. It's shortly past noon. Dr. Hall says,
"What do you suppose is the matter with Carter? He promised to let me know definitely by the end of the week whether or not he'll publish my book, and here it is Friday and no word from him."
"There's no point fretting, Toddy. Friday isn't over yet."
"Oh, I suppose I should have known better than to rely on the promise of a man who has all his drinking glasses inscribed with the word whoops." "Why the devil haven't I heard from him?"
"My Aunt Violet always used to say, no news is good news."
"With all due respect to your Aunt Violet, whose conversation, if what you say is so, must have been exquisitely dreary." "Well, that may be Carter now."
"Alice will answer it."
"Good. I'll give him a few moments with Alice first. He deserves it, having kept me waiting so long."
"That'll teach him a sharp lesson. Oh, she's terrifying, isn't she?" "Well, anyhow, we're just trying her out. She was the best I could do in the way of a housekeeper on such short notice."
"Oh, I'm not complaining. She's an excellent housekeeper, and she scares the life out of me." But I'm sure she must be unique in Carter's experience. I mean, there couldn't be two Alices in the world, could there?
Very doubtful. Took 20 years as a master sergeant's wife and 5 years in the works to produce even one.
Yes, to produce Alice at all is a major miracle.
Well, it's the machine age. She wasn't born. She just came off an assembly line with two trucks and a jeep. Attention!
Yep.
At ease.
At ease, darling.
Yes, Alice.
Someone for the doctor, ma'am.
Mr. Carter?
Well, I don't know, sir. When I answered, a man at the other end started to stutter. I couldn't make out what. I told him, pop to and sound off, mister. And he said he wanted to speak to Colonel Hall. Dr. Hall, fast. Mm.
Excuse me, Victoria. I'll see who it is.
He hung up.
Hung up?
Yes, sir. He said he had a message for you and tried to pull rank on me when I told him it'd have to go through channels. Well, I chewed him out a little for that. And he said, never mind, he'd be right over.
Right over? Well, then it couldn't have been Carter. He's in New York.
Well, Charlie'll be ready in half an hour, ma'am.
Charlie? Oh, yes, go.
Maybe a little more than half an hour. I never cook for less than a company full strength. Takes time to divide all my recipes by 200.
Oh, well, it's quite understandable, Alice.
Yeah, but it's all right. I'll bracket the roast and be on target at 1,300 hours. As you were.
Frightening. Well, it's almost 1 o'clock. If Carter intended to publish my book, I'd surely have heard from him by now. Perhaps I should have worked on it another year or so.
Oh, nonsense, Toddy. The book is beautifully written. It's one of the most exciting biographies I've ever read.
Well, then perhaps the subject's been found uninteresting. After all, Jonathan Gilley was a rather obscure scientist, even in his own time. You know, it's been claimed that the three most fascinating subjects for books are Abraham Lincoln, doctors, and dogs. And that the ideal title would probably be Lincoln's Doctor's Dog. You know, perhaps I should have called mine Victoria's Husband's Hobby.
Oh, well, let's wait another hour or so, and then we can...
Dr. Hall!
Oh, Mr. Merriweather, come in! Good heavens, man, what...
Congratulations!
Thank you very much. What for?
You mean you don't know?
Know what?
Here, let me catch my breath. Ran all the way from the club. Tried to reach you by phone, but that female topkick of yours tried to route me through the Pentagon building.
Sit down.
No, we better make Dr. Hall sit down.
Well, sit down, William.
Why should I sit down?
Because if you don't, this is likely to knock you down. I haven't been so happy about anything since my doctor told me to stop working. Oh, that is wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you again, but for what?
Oh, this is marvelous. He doesn't know.
Know what?
Well, I was in the club library reading my newspaper and listening with half an ear to the radio when I heard the news. Wonderful news.
Don't let me rush you into revealing it, Mr. Merriweather.
No, my husband stands always like this, digging his fingernails into his palms and holding back a scream.
Well, ma'am, in the middle of this news broadcast, I heard the name. Jonathan Gilley.
Jonathan Gilley?
Frankly, I wouldn't have known Jonathan Gilley from Ben Hogan's caddy, except that you told me you'd been working on a biography of Gilley for several years now, and... You really had better sit down, both of you.
We'll take the chance. Go ahead and bowl us over.
Dr. Hall, you won the Schofield Prize.
What?
What's the Schofield Prize? Someone tell me before I start climbing the wall.
Well, the annual prize for the best biography submitted for publication during the past year.
$20,000 prize money, ma'am.
$20,000? And the best biography. Oh, Toddy. Oh, Mr. Merriweather, I could kiss you.
Go ahead, ma'am. I could stand quite still and let you.
Oh, Toddy, I'm so very proud of you.
And just a few minutes ago, I was fuming at my publisher for not letting me know whether or not he was going to accept the book at all.
Oh, he'll publish it all right. He's likely to be selected for the Book of the Month Club. And if this Gilley If this Gilly fella looks attractive in a low-cut gown, you're a cinch for the drugstore reprints.
Well, I don't know what to say. Isn't it ridiculous? My little book, the Schofield Prize for the Best. Well, the Schofield Prize, eh?
That's what the man said. Isn't it wonderful? Oh,
this calls for a party.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we'll have a rouser. And tonight, Mr. Merriweather, we've no time to send out invitations. Will you spread the word around?
Certainly.
Invite everyone, but everyone. And Vic, tell Alice to call the market.
Yes.
That little delicatessen, you know. Tell her we want enough for several hundred. This is going to be marvelous.
For tonight we'll merry, merry be. For tonight we'll merry, merry be.
Doctor, put me down.
What do you do with all your money, Doctor?
Oh, endow a home for old college presidents. Well, for one of them anyway. Get one of those new Scotch plaid dinner jackets. I wouldn't dare wear it, of course, but it'll lend a dashing air to the coat closet. We'll take a trip to Europe. Buy a new car.
Pay the income taxes.
Yes, pay. Victoria, please, not while we're celebrating.
All right, that's the first portion of The Halls of Ivy from April 28th, 1950, the Schofield Prize with Ronald Coleman. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. All right, welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Lisa and I and Mike and Elif, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. Once again, thanks to Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske for being here and giving away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to two of our lucky listeners.
Mike will send them emails and follow up with them. So
they,
in case they missed it, they'll know they were the ones.
All right, it's time for the conclusion now of the Halls of Ivy.
Hey, Colonel.
Colonel who? Where? Oh, me. Oh, yes, yes. What is it, Alice?
Mr. Harry Crane calling. Says he's from the Ivy News, a reporter.
Oh, have him come in, Mr. Merriweather. Would you be good enough to take care of him while we go upstairs and freshen up a bit?
You're glad to, man. Take your time.
Yeah, come on, Toddy.
We'll only be a moment.
Oh, tonight we'll marry, marry me.
Dr. Hall?
No, my name's Merriweather. I'm on the Board of Governors.
Oh.
The halls will be down in just a moment.
Oh, well, I'm Crane of the News.
How do you do?
You hear about the Schofield Prize?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Well, the break for me, anyway. I'm the local AP man. I make a few bucks extra on it.
Oh, that's fine. You used to enjoy your radio program, the A&P Gypsies, wasn't it? Fine music.
No, you're thinking of a grocery chain. I meant the Associated Press.
Huh?
But about this 20 grand, what's a kid his age going to do with all that folding money?
Kid? Dr. Hall's not old, but he certainly isn't going to spend the money on marbles and lollipops.
Oh, I'm not talking about Dr. Hall. I'm talking about that senior here. What's his name? Buckley, who won the Schofield Prize.
Who? What are you talking about, son?
Buckley, Jared Buckley, the one who just caught the Schofield Prize with a biography of Jonathan Gilley.
Oh, no. No, it couldn't be. Are you sure?
Well, sure, I'm sure. It came in on a teletype just a few minutes ago. My instructions are all you can send on Buckley. I'm hoping to get a statement from Dr. Hall to sort of round off the story.
Good Lord, what have I done? Set up a Christmas tree and decorated it with mousetraps.
Huh?
I thought the news broadcaster said it. I must have misunderstood. Will you excuse me, please, Mr. Crane? I don't want to be here when they come down.
Say, you look awful. What's the matter? Headache?
Heartache. I really couldn't stand seeing their faces. Excuse me, please.
Sure. Take it easy. A lot of that Virus X making the rounds, you know.
Well, if anybody deserves it, I do.
Mr. Crane, good afternoon. I am Dr. Hall.
Afternoon, Doc.
Victoria, may I introduce Mr. Crane of the News?
How do you do?
Good afternoon. Dr. Hall, I won't take up much of your time. I just would like a statement from you on this award of the Schofield Prize.
Well, I first heard of it through Mr. Merriweather here, who took... Oh, by the way, where is he?
Well, he seemed a little upset. He just left.
Just left? Oh, that's too bad. I thought he was
going to... The excitement was probably too much for him.
Oh, I hope he's well by this evening. I'll want everyone to feel as happy as I do.
Well, you really take this big, don't you?
Well, naturally. I'm very gratified by the news. You might make that part of the statement. Oh, and please add that much of the credit is due to my wife.
Your wife? Really?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I doubt very much if the book ever would have been written without her encouragement and tender solicitude.
You don't say.
Oh, no nonsense. I merely nagged and nagged until the book was finished. I wouldn't stop talking about it all hours of the day and night.
All hours of the... You don't say.
And I promised him that as soon as he's finished, we'd go away together for a whole week.
Well, didn't you have anything to say about that, Doc? Oh,
yes, of course. Yes, I told her I thought it was a good idea.
You don't say.
Yes, and it was a good idea.
Well, yeah, but you got to draw the line someplace.
It was only a week.
You certainly are broad-minded. If it was my wife, I'd be frothing at the mouth.
Really?
If I may say so, it seems a very odd reaction.
Not in my circle. And I thought you people led such quiet lives. Oh, well, who am I to point a finger? Well, thanks for the statement, Doctor.
You mean you have all you want?
Oh, I got even more than I bargained for. The story will be about Buckley anyway. This is just sort of fill-in and fluff.
Buckley? Who's Buckley?
Are you kidding? Jared Buckley, the student who just copped the Schofield Prize with his book about Jonathan Gilley.
Oh, Toddy.
Buckley? He did a biography of Gilley? His biography won the prize?
Well, Natch, didn't you know? What did you think I was talking about?
I thought that... You see,
My husband has a biography of Jonathan Gilley in his publisher's hands now, and we were under the impression...
No, it's Buckley's book. Oh. Oh, I see. Well, you thought that I was getting a story from you. Oh, this is a rotten break, Doc. I'm sorry. Holy cow, what a story.
No, please, forget it, please.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, Doctor. Good afternoon, Mrs. Hall.
Good afternoon.
Victoria, do something for me, will you?
Of course, dear.
Phone my office and have them ask Buckley to come here this afternoon. I'd like to see him.
All right, Toddy. And Toddy?
Yes?
I think there must be something dreadfully wrong someplace when things like this can happen to people like you.
Oh, thank you, my darling. I'm glad you think I should be immune to the buffetings of fortune. But speaking of buffets, shall we have lunch?
Is there anything I can do for you, Toddy?
Thank you, no, darling. I hope you don't think I'm crushed by the news, because I'm not. It would have only been a bother to win the Schofield Prize anyway.
Yes, reporters interrupting your routine with requests for interviews.
Yes, and having to make speeches at banquets.
And radio and television programs.
Oh, there's no doubt about it in my mind at all. No, it's just as well I didn't win it. Better, in fact.
Yeah, much better. What are you thinking about?
I'm trying to decide which of us is the bigger liar.
I think we're very evenly matched, give or take a pound or two.
It doesn't work, does it? I must confess I'd love having my routine interrupted.
Well, you'd be inhuman if you didn't.
I was going to surprise you with a fur coat. The prize money, you know.
Oh, darling, you are sweet. What a lovely surprise. Thank you very much. I was going to exchange the fur coat for a trip to Europe for both of us.
You were? Oh, thank you, Vicky. Thank you. I should have enjoyed that.
Toddy, how did it happen that Buckley should have written a book on the identical, very obscure subject you did?
Oh, it's merely a coincidence, of course. Literature is dotted with cases where writers, widely separated in space, have written similar works almost simultaneously. Reaction to identical stimuli, I suppose. Yes, Alice, what is it?
A telegram for you, Colonel.
Thank you.
I hope lunch was all right, ma'am. You didn't eat much.
Oh, yes. It was very, very good, Alice. The chocolate layer cake was heavenly. You must give me the recipe so I can pass it on to the other faculty wives.
Oh, well, thank you. I learned the recipe at Cook's and Baker's School in the Army. Now, you take 30 pounds of flour, you add 3 gallons of water and 3 gallons of milk, then add a smidgen of vanilla extract, not more than a quart. Now, 4 dozen eggs.
It's from Carter.
2 sacks of sugar.
Yeah, well, thank you, Alice. I'll get it from you later.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. It's from Carter. Dear Hall, in view of Scofield Prize Award, we do not feel we can accept your manuscript for publication at this time. Sorry, sincerely, and so on. And that, my love, is that. 2 years of research and a year of writing right down the drain. Oh, curse the luck.
Oh, Toddy.
Oh, I mean it. I think of all the hours and days when I was so snowed under with administrative details I couldn't work on the book at all. But for that, it might have been finished sooner. I could have given it more time, made it better. Being a college president and a teacher, that's what hindered me.
Oh, please, Toddy.
Well, I'd like my name to have gone a little way down to posterity. Could scholars in the future take my book from the shelf and read it? To have extended the domain of knowledge just that much more.
I know how hateful it is to be disappointed so cruelly. But living's full of disappointments. Yet we manage to survive and even do very well.
Yes, I know. Each disappointment always seems the worst. What about the time when I was returning to America after my sabbatical, and you were supposed to go with me and couldn't?
Oh, yes. I'd started packing.
Yes.
You'd bought the tickets. And we were all ready, I remember. And then 2 weeks before sailing.
While we were dancing at that club. What was his name? You remember? It was a new one. Had just opened. Oh, they had a little Viennese orchestra that must have grown up in waltz time. What was the name of that? I think Strauss must have had someone like you in mind when he began composing. You waltz beautifully.
So do you. Is there much waltzing in America?
No, not much. When I left, everyone was doing something called the Big Apple. Oh, Vicky, it's marvelous. 2 weeks more, then goodbye, London. 5 days later, hello, America. You know, when the customs inspector asks me if I have anything to declare, I shall say, only my love.
Toddy?
Yes, Vicky?
Suppose I couldn't come with you to America.
Oh, then all sorts of dire things would take place. It would rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The ice caps at the poles would move toward the equator. Baseball would be banned. And, oh, but why imagine such a nightmare? I mean, when you are coming to America with me.
But I'm not.
What?
I'm not. I can't. Oh, Toddin, please don't look at me like that.
Well, you're not joking, are you?
I wish I were. Only I wouldn't make such a joke.
Yes, but I don't understand.
Well, the management have asked me to change my mind and extend the run of the show until business warrants closing it.
But why?
Well, if I don't, I'm throwing almost 60 people out of work. I couldn't refuse them.
Oh, but Vicky, I had plans for us.
Oh,
I...
they were beautiful plans, darling. And they'll be fun to carry through. But we'll have to wait a bit. I'll join you later. You see, they all tell me the show can't go on without me.
It won't go on for me without you either.
Toddy, it wasn't an easy decision to make.
Oh, I know. I just feel as though the wind had been knocked out of me, that's all.
It's been a wonderful trip for you, though, hasn't it?
Oh, my dear.
And it's been heavy, hasn't it? I mean, until now?
Happier than I ever imagined possible. It's going to make all the days away from you seem very dreary.
Well, I shall feel the same. But don't let's talk about it. We've another 2 weeks. Let's enjoy them.
All right, darling. We'll raise the roof and paint the town red.
Because we are two very special people.
Special and irreplaceable. Kiss?
Kiss.
Colonel, Mr. Buckley's calling.
Please, not now. I haven't the time. Who knows how long it'll be before we see each other again?
Toddy, it's Jared Buckley calling. Will you send for him,
dear? Makes no difference. Every moment with you is precious.
Well, thank you. It's very flattering, I'm sure. But what about Buckley?
What? Oh, Jared Buckley. Yes, of course. Yes. Have him come in, Alice.
Yes, sir.
Toddy, you were daydreaming again. There were stars in your eyes.
There was one in my arms as well.
Mr. Buckley, sir.
Good afternoon, Dr.
Good
Hall.
Afternoon.
Mrs. Hall. I'm sorry it took me so long.
Buckley, we're very proud of you. Congratulations on bringing the Schofield Prize to Ivy.
Oh, thank you. I was coming to see you anyway, Dr. Hall. I wouldn't have had this honor if it hadn't been for you.
For me?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have written the darn thing at all. You're responsible for it, you know.
I am?
Yes, sir. Remember that seminar you conducted 3 years ago? The one on American colonial history?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, that's where I first heard of Jonathan Gilley. From you. I'll never forget how you talked about him.
This convinces me that I talk too much.
Oh no, sir. It was wonderful. You discussed him with so much enthusiasm, so much fire. I found I couldn't stop thinking about him.
Well, the fire must have spread more than I intended.
When I started doing research, I couldn't find half the books I needed. Someone else must have been working on that period of American history.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Well, then last year, I decided to write the book. Did you ever write a book, Doctor?
That's a good question. As a matter of fact, yes, two or three. My best one is unpublished.
Funny thing. Once I started, I got into a sweat for fear someone else would write a book about Gilley before I did. Silly, wasn't I? I mean, who'd be interested in doing a book about an obscure 18th century scientist?
Oh, it might have occurred to someone else.
Might have at that. I guess I'm lucky it didn't. Anyway, well, this is the original manuscript. I'd be very happy if you'd accept it as a sort of a souvenir to remember me by. Will you accept it?
Thank you, Buckley. I accept it with pleasure, gratitude, and a touch of envy.
That's very kind of you to say that. Is there anything else, sir?
No, nothing else. Just congratulations and the wish that this may be only the beginning of a very successful career.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Bye, Mr. Buckley.
Well, Vicky, I'm glad it was Buckley. Nice boy.
You're not so bad yourself, Professor.
but I'm in the wrong profession, I sometimes think. If I weren't a teacher, I wouldn't have conducted that seminar. And then I wouldn't have brought Gilley to anyone's attention. But garrulous old Hall had to open the gate to his own apple orchard. Teaching, bah.
Toddy, I think you ought to read this.
Read what?
What Buckley says about you.
About me?
Yes. Here. It's the foreword to his book.
Oh, let's have a look. And the Emperor of China said to his ministers, "Go search through the land for the wisest of my subjects, he who hath the greatest knowledge and the highest ability to use it. And when he is found, bring him to me, and he shall be my advisor and sit at my right hand." And the ministers searched through the land and found him and brought him to the Emperor. And with him came one other. And the emperor welcomed the wisest of his subjects and gave him great honor. But asked the emperor, "Who is this other one who comes with you?" And the wisest of the emperor's subjects answered, "This was my teacher."
Yes, but go on, read the rest.
To William Todhunter Hall, teacher, this book is dedicated.
You see, Toddy? There's nothing better. What can compare with it? You're a teacher.
Yes. Yes, yes, thank God, Vicky.
Here's a note for your date book, starting Wednesday, May 10th. The Halls of Ivy will be heard on Wednesdays instead of Fridays. And here again are Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Coleman's latest picture, Champagne for Caesar. We'll be seeing you next Friday at this time at the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. Ken Carpenter speaking. Incubator Baby's parents appear on We the People, next on most NBC stations.
That's the Halls of Ivy, April 28th, 1950, starring Ronald and Benita Coleman, also Willard Waterman in that. Willard Waterman played the great Gildersleeve for quite some time on radio and television, and a good comedy, and I hope you enjoyed that here on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a quick break, then we'll be right back. I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a website called freeradioclassics.com. If you log onto freeradioclassics.com, put your name and your email address, you'll be signed up to receive an email every single Monday from me. And in that email will be an embedded classic radio show, digitally remastered, 30-minute classic radio show. It's also what, Lisa? Pictures.
Pictures. Am I on there? There's a synopsis of the show. There's the original air dates, the sponsors.
Yeah.
All
cast
sorts of
list.
Goodies, cast lists. And last week was my favorite because it was my favorite husband. And
yeah.
I loved Lucille Ball learning how to swim.
I'm trying to think what's going out today to everybody. I'm not sure. Because,
it'll be a surprise.
It's not Monday yet. It'll be Monday in about 2 minutes. But every Monday you'll get an email that will have an embedded classic radio show. You can click it, listen on your computer, or you can Bluetooth it to your cell phone or your car, all kinds of fun stuff. And that's 52 classic radio shows every year. So that means in 2 years, 104, 3 years, 156, huh?
Yeah, that was
pretty
fast.
Good.
You must have thought about that.
Anything more than that is beyond my comprehension.
Definitely.
But just go to freeradioclassics.com, and that's all you have to do.
Yep.
No cost.
Nope.
It's free. Well, that's
just
why I called it freeradioclassics.com.
Truth in
advertising.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know all about that. You
I
have
sure
an advertising
do.
Degree, don't you?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yep.
How many degrees do you have? Like 12, 13?
Like 6.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
I know.
In our next hour, we're going to tune into Broadway Is My Beat, a great detective adventure from 1950. Then after that, we're going to scare you, Lisa. We're going to scare you.
Okay, boom.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
I love a good mystery.
Ooh, I love Inner Sanctum. Very scary stuff. It's called The Shadow of Death. Yeah.
I like it already.
And there's a creepy guy. He's the host. Sort of like, you know,
Like you.
You're creepy.
Yeah, we'll turn down the
You're
lights and we'll get a little creepy.
In a really nice way, though.
Yeah,
You're
sure.
Kind of creepy in a nice way.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right, so guess what? We have a creepy newsman coming on.
He's a celebrity on WGN tonight, Mr. Roger Badish.
Oh, gosh.
I think you should do it like Peter Lorre. Talk
I
like
would
that.
Like to do the news.
Do the whole
Peter
news
Lorre.
Like that. Yes.
And today there
the
was
famous
news.
Mr. Badish.
What?
That'd be great. You should play Raymond from Inner Sanctum with that kind of voice. That'd be great.
You know, we got to do a show.
Let's do an Inner Sanctum, right?
Yes.
Let's do a recreation at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and we'll do Inner Sanctum. What do you think of that?
I think that would be wonderful.
Wow, I'm kind of freaked out right now. The lights just went out when he did that.
Yeah,
my lights went out
stuff.
A long time ago, I'm telling you.
All right, so stay tuned for more classic radio, 2 more hours of it, all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning here. All right, hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks for staying up with us. It's 12:08, so that means it's officially Monday. Monday, Monday.
Da, 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 da.
Broadway Is My Beat coming your way in this hour. Good detective adventure, then Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Ooh, scary stuff. Before that, though, we're going to give away what? Another
we are
four
going to
CD
give,
set?
No, we're going to give away a $25 gift certificate for a Lou Malnati's pizza, so listen
oh,
up.
Oh, really? Is that how
yes,
it works?
That's how it works.
All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
this actor stars in the upcoming TV series. I'm so sorry. Carl and I have a bet on this one, and that's the thing. So let's start over. This actor stars in the upcoming TV series Star Trek Discovery, set a decade before the events of the original Star Trek series.
Take a listen.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day?
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. This actor originated the role of Mark Cohen in the Broadway production and film version of Rent. If you know the answer, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater, show 150. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day?
And I know we've got somebody on the phone.
Hello.
And is this Marie?
This is Marie.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you tonight?
Great. Good to hear from you. And who is that actor?
That is Anthony Rapp.
That is Anthony Rapp. And he grew up right here in Joliet, Illinois. So people may have even known him, right, from around here. He was born
in
Chicago.
Yeah, you know what? He's really got a bad rap.
He's got a bad rap. Well, he's fantastic. Isn't he great? I saw him in Rent.
Absolutely.
He was, I actually got his signature. I kind of felt like a groupie. But you are a winner, Marie, and we are so happy to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much for calling in, and I'm so glad you knew the answer.
Thank you. I love your show, and I love the pizza.
Thank you. I feel the same way.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you. All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing classic radio shows for you, and it's time for Broadway Is My Beat. It was a detective series that came to radio in 1949, lasted until 1954, and it starred Larry Thor as New York detective Danny Clover. And the opening of each episode had the music I'll Take Manhattan. Clover worked homicide from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Charles Calvert played Sergeant Gino Tartaglia, and Jack Crucian was Sergeant Mugovan on this series. And it was really a top-notch, well-produced series. For a while, Elliot Lewis was the producer-director of this. We have a broadcast from October 13th, 1950. This is called The Helen Carroll Case. It stars Larry Thor now. Here's part one of Broadway Is My Beat.
Broadway's My Beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. Broadway, where you walk through the October evening and hold close the things you want to save for memories. Then Broadway's as innocent and nostalgic as music drifting from a carousel. And you move on. You get hit in the face by a guy fishing for nickels under a grating. Whatever you were pursuing is gone now, lost. And Broadway trails off into the side streets. Walk them, like I did. And try to close your eyes against the pattern of scars in the street of the tenements. The kids with the torn deck of cards under the lamppost. The dogs at the trash cans. The wide-eyed girl who lurched against me.
Pardon me.
That's all right.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
That's all right. Is something wrong, miss?
No, no, it's all right. I'll find it all right.
Find what? May I help you?
You've seen it? You know where it is?
You're not feeling well, miss. Let me take you home.
Home?
That's right. Where do you live?
I don't know.
Then tell me your name. We'll find out.
I don't know my name. I don't know who I am. I don't know. Tell me who I am.
Now, just take it easy. That's better. What were you looking for?
Pocketbook. I remember I had it. I think I had it when I was rocking right over there. I fell down.
Well, let's go see. How long ago did you miss your pocketbook?
A little while, I think. I don't know. An hour? I don't know, just a few minutes ago. I can't remember when.
Here's where you fell?
Yes. I remember because when it happened, I stretched out my arm so I wouldn't hit the trash can.
Uh-huh. Is this it, miss?
Yes. Yes, that's it. I can remember that.
Let's open it.
Yes, yes.
Here, a wallet. Here's a driver's license made out to Linda Arnold, 1912 West 54th Street. 5'4", blonde hair, green eyes. That fits. And this, in case of accident, notify Helen Carroll. Address the same.
Helen Carroll. Aunt Helen. Yes, that's right. My name's Linda Arnold, and Helen Carroll's my aunt.
Uh-huh. Something else in this purse, Miss Arnold. Recognize it?
Why? Why, that's a letter opener. Aunt Helen's. And there's blood on it.
That's right, Miss Arnold. It's sticky with blood. Which is your apartment, Miss Arnold?
That one. The one at the...
Okay. There, you all right?
Yes. I'm all right. It's the one at the end of the hall.
Do I have your key?
It's in my purse. Who...
Muggerman.
Hi, Danny. You got the call, huh?
What call?
Homicide, Danny. You mean you didn't get it? Then why are you here?
Miss Arnold lives here. She's ill. I phoned her wandering in the streets, so I brought her home.
You said someone was dead. Who is it? Who's dead?
Who, Muggerman?
A woman named Carroll, Mrs. Helen Carroll, in the kitchen.
Here, take care of her, Muggerman. Make her lie down someplace.
Okay, Danny. Bedroom over there. Here, Miss Arnold. Let me help you. Danny, we've been waiting for you.
Hi.
You got a cigarette, Danny?
Oh, sure, Dr. Siski. He's here. Mm. How?
Stabbed. In the chest. Over and over. Pierced the lungs, the heart. The murderer made very sure, Danny. Like it was what he'd lived for all his life.
Who called it in, do you know?
Yeah, Detective Muggerman said some man from a coin box. Wouldn't give his name.
Stabbed. Boys know with what?
No weapons in evidence, Danny. They think it was a knife, a small knife like
that. A letter opener, maybe?
The boys mentioned the possibility of a letter opener, yeah.
There's a girl in the bedroom, Doctor. She'll need your help.
Don't take me to her, Danny.
I killed her! I hated her. She was mean and rotten. She twisted everything and made it dirty and mean. I killed her!
Hold it, Danny. You too, Muggerman. But gently. It'll be all right, miss. It'll be all right.
I want Ted. Bring Ted to me. Tell him. Tell Ted. Oh, tell him I killed her. Tell him to come to me.
Dr. Siski.
A moment longer, Danny. In a moment, she'll be asleep. This girl murdered Danny?
She's asleep. You're right, Dr. Sinsky. It only took a moment. It only took a moment, and sleep touched Linda Arnold, and the face gouged with hysteria smoothed down to a kind of release and innocence. Her lips formed a final word, Ted, once. Then she surrendered to sleep. I left. Routine, then. Questions. Questions prefaced with the word Ted. And answers from people who lived in the apartment house. Ted? I guess that's her boyfriend that always comes calling Mr., the good-looking boy in the uniform. Then a woman who opened the door for me before I knocked told me, Ted, you mean Ted Raymond, Mr., Linda's boyfriend. About his uniform, Mr., I guess that's because he drives a bus. And more questions. And find out Ted Raymond drove a bus for cross-country tours. Go to the depot. Ted was off yesterday, but here's his address. But Ted wasn't home when I got there. Assign a man to call me when Ted got in. The next morning at 10, a phone call. Ted Raymond had been out all night. He just got in. I went there.
You're the police.
That's right. Danny Clover.
Come on in.
Thanks. How'd you know I was...
You were the police? How did I know?
One of your boys was outside this house when I came in. He was trying to look like a maple tree, like the one that's outside, real detective-y looking. Fat man with a cigar trying to look like a maple tree. I came home, he went across the street and made a call, then you came. Have a chair.
Thanks. You know why I'm here?
Sure.
Uh-huh. That's why you were packing that bag over in the bed.
Maybe I was doing the wrong thing. I don't know the etiquette about getting arrested. Do they furnish prisoners with small and necessary items like razor and toothbrush and combs and brushes, huh? Go ahead. Look, that's what I'm packing. Look and then arrest me.
Arrest you for what?
Come on, come on. I don't get cagey on me. Arrest me for murder. I killed Helen Carroll.
Where were you all last night, Ted?
Killing Helen Carroll and walking the streets atoning to myself for my crime.
How'd you make out?
Fine. She needed to be killed. All her money. Linda never got a cent of it. Kill her Aunt Helen, marry Linda, be rich. Logic. But now I'm caught.
How'd you kill her?
I stabbed
with
her.
With what?
How do I know with what? I picked up something and stabbed her. Let's go, Mr. Clover. Take me down to headquarters, get me a secretary, and I'll dictate my confession.
It could have ended there with the boy's confession and arrest. Could have been easy. Easy to erase the words of a girl, the cries of a girl uttered in anguish and hysteria, the sickness of the lost. Easy to put out of mind the blood on a letter opener found in her purse, found behind a trash can. A girl wandering aimlessly in the twilight. That never happened. But you know it did, all of it. So you make a call to Dr. Sinsky and he tells you the girl is in the police hospital. Yes, she can talk to you. She's been asking for you. And the girl sitting upright in the bed is a girl who was never lost, who never cried, except alone.
I've waited for you to come back, Mr. Clover.
You're better now. Feel all right?
Look at me. What do you think?
You look fine.
I tried. I made them bring me lipstick and powder. And this negligee. It's one I've been saving. You like it?
You consider this an occasion, Miss Arnold?
Isn't it?
Can you remember what you told me when I brought you home the other night when we found your aunt...
I remember it exactly, word for word. I said it killed her because I hated her. My aunt was mean, Mr. Clover, and rotten. That's why I killed her. This makes it an occasion, doesn't it?
You lived with your aunt?
Ever since I was in pigtails. Ever since I was 12. I think it began the first night I stayed in her house. Yeah. That's right. That's when it began.
What began?
The hate. The loathing.
Why?
Because she made me cry. Because she put me in a dark room and let me cry all night.
You'd done something wrong?
Mm-hmm. I did wrong. My mother and father were dead. That's what I did wrong. There was no one to take me except a school friend of my mother's. I call her Aunt Helen. That's what I did wrong.
And after that?
Have you ever had to live on the charity of a bitter old woman, Mr. Clover? It could have been so nice. She was that rich, $100,000, Alfred said. $100,000, and we ate out of paper bags. We dressed
in... Alfred? Who's he?
Alfred Carroll, my uncle. My aunt's husband. Poor thing.
We didn't even know about him. Where is he?
I don't know. But find him, Mr. Clover. He'll be so relieved that I've killed her, so happy. I'd like to see his face. Find him for me, please.
We will. We'll put out an all-points bulletin.
Thank you. Now you'll put me in a cell, I suppose. I'm well enough for you to do that.
Ted Raymond says he killed your aunt.
You're not fooled, are you? He said that because he loves me. Turn your back, Mr. Clover. I'll get dressed so you can put me away.
Danny.
Oh, come on in, Tartaglia. Oh, what's on your mind?
Oh, thanks, Danny. Especially to extend to you formally the warm hand of welcome back from your vacation west of the Great Divide. Oh,
thanks, Gino.
And to remark that the western winds have indeed done wonders to your features. The sunburned brow, the hearty handshake, and that Don Juan shirt. You look like a veritable Don Juan.
Thanks, Gino.
And to tell you that I have prepared myself during your vacation... for whatever problems perplex your brain.
Oh, tell me about it.
I have been studying the exploits of Mike Schreck, the bald-headed miracle detective from Philadelphia. Detective Schreck is a man who has coined two interesting theories.
Gino.
First theory, find the woman. Second theory, the criminal always returns to the scene of his crime. Put them together.
In other words, when a man walks past the scene of the crime with a girl, it...
he's the killer. Hey, how did you know?
Lieutenant Clover?
That's right. Come in.
Thank you. I understand you're looking for me.
I am?
My name is Alfred Carroll.
Yes. Yes, we were looking for you, Mr. Carroll. Do you know why we want you?
Yes. Yes, of course I do. It's about my wife's murder.
It's this way. Two people have confessed to your wife's murder.
What?
That's right. Linda Arnold and Ted Raymond.
I'm not a young man anymore, Lieutenant. Would you mind if I sat down?
Please do.
That's strange. Why should two people confess to my wife's murder?
What?
Why should they do that? I killed my wife. I killed Helen.
You're listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
All right, Lisa, that's the first portion of Broadway is My Beat. Now, our good pal Peggy Weber is in this show. She's part of the cast. This is from October 13th, 1950, the Helen Carroll case, starring Larry Thor. Let's take a very short break, like 8 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Learn something new.
Ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes.
On 720 WGN.
The voice of the anchor man. Remember? Yeah. Bill Curtis. Remember, he was the narrator of that movie. One of the funniest Will Ferrell movies.
What a great voice he has.
We love Bill Curtis. Sure. We love him. All right, so in just a moment, we're gonna go to news. But when we come back, it's the conclusion to Broadway is My Beat. Then, in the 1 a.m. till 2 a.m. hour, we saved a scary radio show for last, Lisa. Inner Sanctum Mysteries with a Shadow of Death. And it stars Richard Widmark. In a great story sponsored by Lipton Tea. So that's still coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, Lisa's out. Look, she's sleeping. I'm glad you played this music. This might be able to wake her up.
Yeah, this is a waker-upper.
Oh, you're up?
Oh, what?
She was sawing logs over here a few seconds ago. She was like...
Now, I took a nap
Man,
today.
Man, you should hear that.
I'm wide awake.
You need to get your uvula cut out.
You and your uvula. I think you're a little obsessed with that body part.
Yeah, that's what causes you to snore.
Okay.
You have an extraordinarily large uvula.
And you would know this because...
Because I can hear the sound that you're making over there. You sound like a caveman.
You have a vivid imagination.
Cavemen had large uvulas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you know that because...
Well, because I was around back then.
Because you were one of those.
I know.
Gotcha.
I'm sort of a caveman. I think most men are cavemen. We just need to eat and sleep.
That's it?
You know, just that's all I need.
Are you sure?
Just eat. I want to eat. I'm hungry. And right? I need to sleep.
That's it.
So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Those are the two main things.
Oh, okay. I just
I like to get,
sure.
You know, a good amount of sleep. And then I need to eat 4 or 5 times a day.
I didn't realize those were the only two things, but that's good.
You know?
That's great.
Like, I'm hungry right now.
So am I.
I mean, this... up late, I'm hungry.
I think it's coming to the radio station. It makes you hungry.
Yeah, and I ate. I had dinner by my friend John's house. He made dinner. It was really good. Chicken. Delicious. And I thought, oh, this will hold me.
Right.
And here I am, and it's 12:35, and I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, every now and then, people drop by pizza.
I'm withering away.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's almost nothing left.
I know. All right, so we're here every Saturday and Sunday night on this legendary station, WGN Radio AM 720. We're in the Allstate studio. People are walking by still at 12:30-something, and they're waving. They're walking by, and it's cold out, man.
It sure is.
It's very cold out there. I can't wait. You know, pretty soon, there was something like, when's Groundhog Day? Is that happening?
February 2nd.
Okay, so that's coming up.
Yeah.
It's like this week.
It's that Thursday.
And we have to wait till that day to find out if the groundhog looked
at
him.
So do you put a lot into that? I mean, you're pretty confident on that.
Punxsutawney, what is it?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney
Phil.
I don't think it's Punxsa. I think it's
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah. Bill Murray movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. Andy McDowell.
I can't even believe how funny that movie. That movie is so hysterical.
Isn't it Punxsutawney Phil?
Yeah, Punxsutawney.
Yeah.
Something like that. Sounds right.
When
you say it, it sounds right, but...
Punxsutawney Phil. So you think he is or is not going to see a shadow?
If he sees a shadow, does that mean it's good?
Yeah.
What's the whole thing with that? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that know. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's all good.
It is Punxsutawney Phil, and... let me see.
If he sees his shadow, then Lamont Cranston and the lovely Margot Lane will play an episode of The Shadow.
I think that's the way it works.
Something like that.
If he sees his shadow, actually, then and he returns to his hole, he has predicted 6 more weeks of winter-like weather.
See, if you see the shadow, then something's wrong because he could cloud your mind so you couldn't see him, the shadow.
Right, see?
So I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think we should just listen to Broadway is My Beat.
Let's do it. Let's forget
all that. Here's the conclusion now of Broadway is My Beat.
In the late October afternoon, Broadway stands on a corner, sips its coffee, snaps at a coney, and sums up the day. Some days are better than others. You know because the Translux says it was. Our men in Korea are doing fine, it says. A horse out in far Hollywood paid 90 for two, it says. But you went on it, were you, kid? For the rich, they run, I kid. Get this item. Look what it says. 3 people confessed to murder of Helen Carroll. A field day for the police, huh, kid? 3 tries, 3 scores. Coming up in the world, the police. And at headquarters, the husband sits quietly waiting for the police stenographer to catch up with him. Because his confession spills out of him like laughter, like it has to be shared with the world.
Have you got that now, young man? All of it? Every word?
He's got it, Mr. Carroll. Go on.
Yeah, there's not much more. I wish there were. There are so many things.
Where did you go after you killed your wife, Mr. Carroll?
I went to do things she'd never let me do.
Like what?
Enjoyable things. Pleasurable things.
Like what?
I went to a bar and had a drink. A lot of drinks. With her money. With Helen's money.
What else?
There was a girl there sitting all alone. She came up to me and asked me if I was having a good time. I said, indeed I was. Then I asked her if I could buy her a drink. And she smiled. What have you done with Linda? Where's Linda?
How much money did your wife have?
$100,000. Imagine. $100,000, and she made us live like pigs, like beggars. She wouldn't even let me get a job so I could have money for myself.
Where does she keep her money?
It's all in the bank, in her name. It's all coming to me now. You know what I'm going to do with it after I die, after you...
What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to leave it all to Linda, to my child. I think of her as my child, but she isn't, you know. It's like a blessing to have Linda in our house. I want her to have all that money.
Yeah, let me look at the transcript, Florio. Thanks.
You'll see to it that Linda gets that money, won't you?
You said here you stabbed your wife with a letter opener, Mr. Carroll. What did you do with it?
Didn't I tell you that? I must have forgotten. In the excitement, I walked around, and all of a sudden I was on the dock. A garbage scow floated right past, so I threw the weapon onto the garbage. I thought that was right for Helen.
Is this the letter opener?
Let me see. Yes, that's it. It belonged to Helen. That's what I killed her with.
I found it in Linda's purse with blood on it.
You lie. You're lying. I threw it away. I threw it on that barge. You're lying.
Tartaglia, see that Mr. Carroll gets home.
I killed her. I killed
her.
Take her
home, Tartaglia. There it was. 3 people confessed to a single murder. An elderly man, Alfred Carroll, said he killed his wife, but the details of the killing were too cloudy. A young woman, Linda Arnold, said she did it, killing done in a mental blackout. A young man, Ted Raymond, swore he was the killer. Take a premise, consider it, make up your mind that one of the suspects was the murderer. But who? All had motive.
As far as I could gather, all had opportunity. That was the Joker. Routine again and questions again. The knocking on doors and tipping the hat and flashing the badge and intrude into lives of people who thought the word murder was reserved for headlines only. A person like Mrs. Westfall, for instance, landlady and purveyor of towels and clean sheets for Ted Raymond.
You're talking about Ted Raymond, ain't you?
That's right.
Ted drives a bus.
What are you looking at, Mrs. Westfall?
Little Fettleburg. Look at her walking down the street. Giddled in her uppity ways. It's just October and she's got out the raccoon coat already. Look at her.
Ted Raymond.
He drives a bus. Bus driver. Jockey for a bus. Look at Giddle.
Do you know whether he made any phone calls?
On my phone, where he always makes them. Broke a date with his girl. I heard him because I was peeping with my ear.
Then what'd he do?
I don't know. Maybe went to work where he works at the bus depot. I'll bet it's not even real raccoon.
Bus leaving.
Are you Mr. McLean?
That's right. Baltimore, what can I do Washington? For you, sir?
I'm from the police.
Oh, fine.
I drive that bus for cross-country tours. I'm supposed to take it out to Washington in 5 minutes. Think I'll make it?
Sure. This will only take a minute. The man at the ticket window said you were a friend of Ted Raymond's.
Was Ted in trouble? Oh, I'm just supposed to answer the questions.
So you'll make the bus.
I know, Ted.
Did you see him last night?
All night. Sat up with Pinochle all night from 5 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's funny, you know.
What's funny?
He called me very early this morning. Told me if anyone asked to say I never saw him at all last night.
Bus
but
leaving
you're a policeman.
For Trenton,
yeah, better catch your bus, Mr. McLean.
Baltimore and Washington, leaving in 4.
Is your name Clover?
That's right. Who are you?
My name is Jones, and I've been looking for you.
Why have you been doing that?
Because I read in the paper you were assigned to the murder of Mrs. Carroll. Therefore this.
Therefore what?
Here. $100 bill. Take it. You see, I didn't spend a cent of it.
Look, Mr. Jones, what's this all about?
It's about that boy, Ted Raymond. He gave me the $100, and I'm giving it to you.
Why are you doing that?
Because I'm the superintendent of the apartment house in which Mrs. Carroll was slain. Ted Raymond gave me the $100 early this morning. Said to tell anyone that asked that he was lurking around the apartment house at the time of the murder.
I see. What took you all this time to come to the police?
Yes.
What?
Yes, it did take me a long time. What happens to the $100 bill now, Mr. Clover?
Hello, Ted.
Your marbles must have come loose, Mr. Clover. You leave that door open, I make a dash for it, escape, become a fugitive from justice, make a name for myself in the papers.
But you won't do that, will you, Ted?
A dreamer.
You won't do it because you like it here.
Yeah, that's right. I like it here. The walls are worn thin where guys have cried on them, where guys have beaten their heads against them. Oh, yeah, I like it here, Mr. Clover. But you'll be careful, huh? Careful I don't hurt you when I try.
It's open, Ted. All you have to do is walk out.
So what is this? This I never even read about.
You told me you killed Helen Carroll.
Yeah. Who else should I tell? Bring him to me. I'll whisper it in their ears.
She was killed in the evening at 7 o'clock. The medical examiner says so.
Bless him, I killed her in the evening at 7 o'clock.
You're lying, Ted. We know everything you did from 5 until 4 in the morning. You weren't even near Helen Carroll. How much did you lose at Pinochle, Ted?
You're crazy.
The man you played cards with, McLean, is he crazy too, Ted? All of us and Jones? The man you paid $100 to establish at the scene of the crime? At the current price for a confession of murder? Answer me, Ted.
So I didn't kill anybody, so you don't have to put your hands on me.
Who did you do it for?
It's this way, Mr. Clover. Somebody gets killed, I feel guilty. So I confess and I don't feel guilty anymore.
It was for Linda, wasn't it?
I do it for her, too.
For Linda, huh, Ted?
Leave her out of this. I warn you, leave her out. Look, Mr. Clover... You're wrong. Linda couldn't kill. She's a sick... But she wouldn't kill. Not Linda. She's just sick, that's all. All she needs is...
How sick?
Ask her doctor, he'll tell you. Dr. Malcolm.
Dr. Malcolm?
Yes, Dr. Robert Malcolm in the Equitable Building. Go ask him how sick a girl like Linda can be.
We won't need you anymore, Ted. The guard at the end of the tier will show you where to go. Goodbye, Ted.
case of Linda Arnold is not a very exciting one, Mr. Clover.
I don't want to write a magazine article, Dr. Malcolm. I'm just trying to clear up a murder.
I'll wager the material you police come in contact with.
Look, Doctor.
Of course, Linda Arnold. She came to me some years ago.
How many years ago?
Oh, about 10, I'd say. Charity patient. Later, I found out her aunt was quite wealthy, so I had a donor for my fee.
Her aunt was the one who was murdered.
Really? Now, that's interesting.
Oh? Why?
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Clover. Did Linda kill her aunt?
We're not sure. Maybe she did. Why do you ask?
Well, there might be a pattern for murder there. Linda was an emotional girl, and when an emotional crisis presented itself, she would, black out.
In other words, at times, rather than face reality, Linda would...
I said it. Black out.
Would you say you cured her, Doctor?
I can only say she hasn't had need to see me for the last 3 years. Yes, I'd say she was a perfectly healthy, normal girl. Anything else? No? Good day, Mr. Clover.
It was 5 p.m. when I walked out of Dr. Malcolm's office. It was 10 minutes after 5 when I called the police headquarters and had them release Linda Arnold. Then back on Broadway for a hot pastrami sandwich. I almost had some cream soda, too, but Morris, the waiter, said, Danny, you look dyspeptic. I prescribed celery tonic. Then the theater crowds began to gather and Broadway became crowded, so I left it. Linda Arnold should be home by now. I went there, to her apartment. But it wasn't Linda Arnold who opened the door for me.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Clover. Please come in.
Thanks, I will. Where's Linda?
She was just admiring the clothes I bought for her. I opened a charge account for her because I'm going to get all that money, and I bought all those beautiful clothes for her. Silks. Linda looks so wonderful in silks. See? These. And these. And these.
Where's Linda, Mr. Carroll?
And this. You should have seen Linda in this. We played that record you're listening to so Linda could walk around to it.
Let's get rid of it, huh? Where's Linda, Mr. Carroll?
Oh, she's in her room changing into something else.
Call her.
Because you want to take her back for murder? It won't work, you know. Linda has no mental responsibility for what she did. And besides that, if she were brought to trial, I'd say I did it. Linda, doesn't she look beautiful, Mr. Clover?
How do you feel, Linda?
I'm happy. What happened to the music?
I turned it off.
But I'm happy. I need music to go with it. Look at these things. Look at them. Uncle Alfred bought them for me.
Yes, I did. Didn't I, Linda?
Ted signed his confession, Linda.
What?
Yes, the district attorney's going to arraign him tomorrow morning.
That's wonderful.
Ted did that?
Isn't that wonderful, Linda? I asked you, isn't that wonderful?
Ted's in jail?
Now we have nothing to worry about, don't you see, Linda?
Yes. Yes, Uncle Alfred.
Linda... Don't call me uncle. I'm not your uncle, Linda. Linda, Linda, you're so lovely, so lovely, lovely.
You.
Oh, Linda.
You. Take your hands off me. You old man. You. Take your hands off
me. How dare you talk to me like that?
Get out of here. Get out of my sight.
How dare you? I killed for you. Planned this whole thing for you. The years I waited for you. You. You.
Old man. Old man!
Leave her alone.
I'll show you. Take her, Mr. Clover. Take her. Me too.
Alfred, you're crazy.
Listen to me, Mr. Clover. I planned it all. It was I who told her to walk around, to be found in a daze with a knife in her purse. No jury would convict her. I killed my wife, and Linda helped me to do it.
Linda.
All those beautiful things. They'll take them all away. All these things. All these beautiful things.
In the time of autumn, twilight sighs down on Broadway. You walk toward it. Someone smiles and takes your hand, whispers to close your eyes.
then bangs your head against a wall. And your scream mixes well with the shriek of the night. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat. Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia. The program was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. Included in tonight's cast were Joyce McCluskey, Herb Butterfield, Peggy Weber, Lou Krugman, David Ellis, and Jack Crucian. Dan Coverley speaking. This is CBS, where yours truly, Johnny Dollar, brings adventure Saturday nights on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Broadway Is My Beat, a good show called The Helen Carroll Case, starring Larry Thor, from October 13th, 1950, as heard on CBS. Dan Coverley doing the announcing in that, Lisa. Did you like that show? I like the detectives, right?
I like the detectives. Yeah. You talk a lot, so I missed a few things here and there.
Well, we were doing a Facebook Live video while that was airing.
We were.
I think it's going to air at some point.
It's up.
Is that how it goes?
It's there.
All right.
It
I don't know
live.
What that really means, but you can go to our Facebook page and watch something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Ah, what is this? What is this, Ella?
It's a pair of DJs named Royksopp.
What's it, what? Royk what?
Royksopp.
Royksopp.
Don't you know anything, Carl?
Never heard of them.
Royksopp.
It's not my cup of tea. Of course, I like green tea.
We're just kidding.
So it's
old.
Not my cup of tea.
I see the lights flashing.
It's yeah.
Kind of yeah.
I see like the electro lights and flashing colors. Mm-hmm.
It's a synesthesia thing.
Exactly.
It's a what?
It's a synesthesia thing.
What is synesthesia? What does that mean?
It's when you associate sounds with color, different senses other than sound, like colors, smells.
Wow. Really? I learned something
Carl
today.
Carl looks impressed.
I thought that I couldn't learn anything else.
That is like
but
more
I just
like
learned,
amnesia.
I just learned something. You learned me something. Right?
Right.
Right, Lisa?
Yeah, synesthesia and amnesia, it's like the same thing.
We should ask our listeners what they want to, you know, I'm getting ready to figure out what we're going to play
We've been talking
in
about
March.
What we're going to play for March, and we need some suggestions.
Yeah, what do you want to hear, folks? Give us a text, 312-981-7200. We're putting the March schedule together. We want to make sure everyone that is listening that wants to hear a specific show, we'll play it for you. So
somebody had texted in Father Knows Best.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, you know, we play things like that. Some people will say, you know, it's corny. And
yeah,
then other
you can't
people
please
ask
everybody.
For it. So we try our best. But if there's something you want to hear, let us know.
We have a lot of shows, about 100,000 classic radio shows.
That's it.
100,000.
So, you know, we've got plenty more time here to get through those.
Which tells you what my childhood was like collecting these shows. I was just in a basement. I never had any tan. You know, I was just in a basement. I was very pale.
Right.
And my brother used to say, go outside. There's sunshine out there. Go play baseball or do something.
You just
what are you doing
basement.
In this basement?
I was what like, were you doing in that basement?
I was like, I was up to no good. Let
That's
me tell you.
What I'm saying.
But I was like, I like these classic radio shows.
Yeah.
And I was kind of nerdy.
Really?
You know?
I'm surprised.
I grew out of it, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Completely grew out of my nerdiness here as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I was collecting these shows and cataloging them. You know, this was at a time I didn't have a computer. I mean, I was
we didn't have computers.
Yeah. So I used to have index cards. I used to have literally an index card. And I would, as I would identify a show or who was in it, I would go back and write it in, and I had it all cataloged.
Cataloged.
What did I say? Categorized.
Categorized in a catalog.
I just came up with a new word, cataloged.
You know what I used to
What do you think of that?
Catalog.
I think I could. Nice. I think I could get that into Webster's. Catalogued.
If you could say it a few times.
It's cataloged and what's the other word?
Catalog.
And
categorize.
Categorize, yeah.
I used to have a little machine that you'd punch each letter and make labels on
things. Oh, yeah, I have that,
too.
Did
you have it?
I have one of those.
You could put a letter and then hit another letter and you like, click it.
It takes forever.
Yeah, I used to put my name and things on things with that, and then it would stick on there.
Yeah, Lisa, don't touch this.
Yeah,
right?
Lisa.
You probably went to school and everything was little, my lunch box.
It was red, like the letters were red on there.
Right,
yeah, it was
no,
cool.
Like, don't touch. This is Lisa Wolf's.
No, it wasn't Lisa Wolf yet. I wasn't married quite yet.
Lisa Matanky.
Yeah.
There we go.
Prior to...
Who went to school with Lisa Matanky? Anybody out there?
Oh, my goodness.
What school did you go to when you were...
Highland Park High School.
All right, if you went to school... hang on. If you went to Highland
Park... From 1938 to 1942.
Highland Park High School. Hang on. 1977?
Eight.
1978 through 80.
82.
82, right. 70.
I was in high school for 4 years.
All right, if you went to Highland Park High School from 1978 to 1982, did you know Lisa Matanky? And can you tell me some stuff about her that I could really have over her?
I was a saint. Let's not start up.
I could really, have something that.
Let's not start up.
All right. If so, give us a text.
You're making trouble here.
312-981-7200.
You're a troublemaker.
In our next hour, Inner Sanctum Mysteries. You're going to love that. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. You know who I'd really like to hear from? One of your teachers. That's what I... Someone who taught this girl.
Interesting.
That's who I really want to talk to.
Well, I'm more comfortable with that as well, so that's good.
Thank you, Esmeralda. It is 6 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning. That means it's time for hour three. And Lisa has one eye open, one eye shut. So what does that mean? She looks like Popeye. Yeah. I eat me spinach. That's what you look like, Popeye.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have...
I like to be strong like that.
And you have olive oil in there.
Hey!
And I'm Bluto.
Bluto.
I'm Bluto. All right, so in this hour, it's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, a terrific mystery series, and a great show called The Shadow of Death, starring Richard Widmark from 1945, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as Joan Crawford in the upcoming TV series Feud, which centers on the backstage battle between Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Yeah, you know who plays Betty Davis?
I do.
Who?
But I don't remember.
I think...
I was deciding between the two
I can't remember
actors.
If it's Susan Sarandon.
Yeah,
I think
might
it's
be.
Susan Sarandon.
That might be right.
That looks really good.
It does look
good. Yeah, a really, really good series. Is it on FX or something like that?
I don't recall.
Yeah, okay. It looks good, though.
Yes,
all right. So what else? 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They win a 4-CD set with the Twilight Zone audio drama.
All right. Stacey Keach is the host.
Yes.
So here's a hint. This actress, who's one of my favorites, starred in 1976's King Kong.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Honest, I didn't. Sometimes I get too physical. It's a sign of insecurity, you know? Like when you knock down trees.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
312-981-7200. Who is that actress? We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is our landmark show 150. That's exciting. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Honest, I didn't. Sometimes I get too physical. It's a sign of insecurity, you know? Like when you knock down trees.
Oh, she's cute. Let's talk to Bill from Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi there, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. It's good.
How are you?
Good. It's good to hear from you. Who is that actress?
That's Jessica Lange.
That is Jessica Lange. She is terrific. Wasn't she in Tootsie?
Yeah.
Wasn't she
yeah,
the one
she
that was
in Tootsie?
Yeah,
she was
in Tootsie. The show that's coming out next
week. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am, too. And she's right. It's Susan Sarandon, and it's starting. It is on FX, and it's starting on March 5th of this year, so we can look forward to that. But you are a winner. We're so happy to give you the 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone audio dramas produced by Carl and hosted by Mr. Stacy Keach himself, and there are some terrific audio dramas, so we hope you appreciate that.
Okay, I will. I'm a big fan.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Bill. Take care.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All righty. Yeah, that was a fun series. I mm-hmm. produced 180-plus episodes. We did all of the, all but one of the original 156 episodes.
Wow.
Of the so what this is, folks, if you've heard us say Twilight Zone and wondering what it is, I licensed the rights to the Twilight Zone television series from CBS, who owns it, along with the Rod Serling estate, and took the stories and hired writers to adapt the original television scripts into radio drama scripts because we couldn't use the original television scripts. And then I hired all new actors, including many Hollywood movie stars, to appear in these, and Stacy Keach was sort of the host, so he was the Rod Serling character, although he didn't play it as Rod Serling. He did it as his own, which, you know, which I didn't want him to do, an impersonation of Rod Serling. And then we did all of the original shows except for one. There was one that we didn't do, and it was, I think it was called Come Wander With Me. And the reason why, it was all musical. It was like a complete musical, and it was, I just was like, I'll do that. You know how I am with music. Musicals.
Yeah, like La La Land, it just didn't do well at all,
I just don't
right?
like
no.
musicals.
I know.
And so I kind of put that on the back burner, and then I never came back to it. And then when I got through those 150-some-odd shows, I asked CBS, could we do new stories? And they were like, yeah. So we started doing new stories, hiring writers to do new stories. So the CDs we're going to send our winners are a mix of the originals and some maybe of the new ones. And you'll get those. So hope you.
Yeah, they're terrific.
Bill said he likes those. You can learn more about this series, by the way. I have a website at twilightzoneradio.com, twilightzoneradio.com. And if you go there, I think we give people 3 free shows. You just go there and you can click and hear.
You can listen to them.
Yeah, you can. I think
I've
download them. They're free. There's 3 of them. So twilightzoneradio.com. TwilightZoneRadio.com.
Yeah.
Sorry. TwilightZoneRadio.com is the website. All right. Are you ready for Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Lisa?
Yes, let's do this.
All right. Inner Sanctum, great, great series. Came to radio in 1941, created by Hyman Brown, and the original host was Raymond Edward Johnson. He played Raymond, our host, but by this time, when this show was on, 1945, Raymond Edward Johnson was not on the show anymore. They just had a new guy. His name was Paul McGrath, and he just was our host. He wasn't Raymond, our host. And this particular episode stars Richard Widmark. Of course, there was the creaking door, you know? This show had that the auditory trademark of a creaking door. Welcome into the inner sanctum. And Hyman Brown, who produced this and created that whole idea, he then sort of did it again with the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. He produced the CBS Radio Mystery Theater and had a creaking door on that as well. Had a host. E.G. Marshall was the host on that. This show was sponsored for most of its run by Lipton Tea, and that's who the sponsor of this episode is, called The Shadow of Death. From October 2nd, 1945, here's part one of Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you in through the squeaking door. We're having a party tonight. For two of my favorite corpses. I call them Romeo and Juliet. They're newly deads, you know. Yes, she's the daughter of a famous society murderer, and he's the pride of the East Side morgue.
Oh, they're so happy together in their mausoleum built for two. And you should see the bridal casket.
Shame on you, Mr. Host, making fun of such a tragedy.
But, Mary, it was a touching ceremony. Of course, I stood up for the groom. Naturally, the poor fellow couldn't stand up for himself.
Oh, please. It's an occasion for tears, not for laughter.
That's right, Mary. Why, when the bride appeared wearing her grandmother's shroud, everyone had to be cheered up with Lipton tea.
Now, that's enough. I will not have Liptons mentioned at a time like that. Lipton tea is for people who know how to enjoy life. These are the folks who really appreciate Lipton's famous brisk flavor. Yes, that word brisk, B-R-I-S-K, makes a big difference when you're sitting down to a cup of hot tea. Brisk means that Lipton tea tastes fresh and full-bodied, never flat or wishy-washy. I wish you'd try Lipton's, folks, even if you're not a regular tea drinker, because you just don't know how good tea can be till you know how good Lipton's is.
Well, Mary, let's tee off into tonight's story. It's called The Shadow of Death, and it's an original radio play by that boogie-woogie man, Robert Sloan. Yes, and our star tonight is Richard Widmark, who plays the role of Howard. All set? Then turn off the lights and let in the shadow of death. On a lonely dirt road that borders the village cemetery, a single car slows to a stop and parks in the moonless night. Inside it, a man leans back in his seat and reaches for the hand of the girl he loves.
Howard.
Yes, dear?
Why did you stop here? The cemetery's right over there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
You drove here last night, too.
Did I?
Yes.
Well, you're not frightened, are you?
Tonight I am. You've been so strange, so far away. I feel as if I hardly know you.
Darling, you mustn't feel that way.
What's the matter, Howard? There's something on your mind.
I'm going away, Marie.
Oh, no.
And I'm not coming back.
Howard, why?
Well, I don't really know if I can explain it. It seems so incredible, and yet I know it must be true.
What?
Something I've discovered about myself. Something strange and frightening, Marie. Wherever I go, I seem to cast a shadow. A shadow of death.
I don't understand.
No, I didn't either at first. I thought it was just a strange coincidence. But it isn't. It's me. I bring death wherever I go.
Oh, Howard, you don't really believe that.
Well, how can I believe anything else? Haven't you noticed what happens to every living thing I have around me?
No.
I can't keep a pet of any kind, a cat or a dog. Even a plant dies when I have it in the house.
Oh, darling, that's just your imagination. You've been working too hard. You need a rest.
No, I'm going away, Marie. I don't want any harm to come to you.
No, please. Nothing's going to happen to me. This is just...
What's the matter?
Well, nothing. I was just looking at the flowers in my corsage.
Good heavens. They're dead. You don't believe me either, do you, Doctor?
Well, let's not put it on that basis, Howard. After all, I've been trained to look for the physical causes of death, not the supernatural.
Then what do you think I should do?
Frankly, I'd like you to spend a few weeks away from these surroundings. Go up to the sanitarium I told you about. They'll take good care of you up there.
All right, Doctor. I'll make arrangements to go tomorrow. But I know it won't do any good.
You'll be surprised, Howard. 2 or 3 weeks from now, you look back on this as a...
Yes?
That's strange. Those goldfish in my aquarium. They're all dead.
Tell me the truth, Howard. Are you comfortable here in the sanitarium?
They don't believe me. They don't believe that people die when I dream about them.
People die?
Yes, didn't you know that? Every time I have a dream about someone, it's a sign of death. And the next morning when I wake up, I look in the obituary column and I see the name of the person I dreamt about.
Well, Howard, what have they done to you here?
Nothing, only they don't believe me. The dreams, I mean. I had to prove it to them this morning. And it made me feel very bad.
What made you feel bad?
The dream I had last night. I killed a man, Marie.
What?
I killed him in my dream.
Oh.
He was a good friend of mine, too. He lived right across the hall.
Oh, Howard, please. You've got to get hold of yourself.
But I'm afraid, Marie. I don't want to dream anymore.
Oh, darling, I can't bear to see you this way.
Well,
I'll get you out of here. I promise, Howard. I'll get you out of here today.
But, Marie, there isn't a chance of getting him out. He may have to stay in this institution for months.
Oh, no. Dr. Gerard, can't you see what's happening to him? He's losing his mind.
Well, I know he's taken a turn for the worse. That's all the more reason for keeping him here. It might be dangerous to discharge him now.
Then why don't you do something to help him?
We're doing everything we can. It's not easy. He persists in thinking he has this strange power of death. Nobody is able to convince him he's wrong.
What about the man across the hall? Howard said they were good friends.
That's another thing. They were good friends. But unfortunately, that man died this morning.
Come in.
Ah, good morning, Howard. How do you feel today?
Oh, much better, Doctor, much better.
No bad spells last night? No curious moods?
No, I feel fine. Almost well enough to go home.
Let me look at your eyes.
You will let me go home again, won't you, Doctor?
Yes, Howard, of course, of course. You, haven't had any of those dreams lately, have you?
No, no, not for a long time.
Are you sure?
Well, I did have one last night.
You dreamt that someone was dead?
Yes, I did, but I know it's not true. It can't be true.
Whom did you dream about, Marie?
No, Doctor. I dreamt about you. That's why I know I'm wrong. You're alive, Doctor. Don't you understand? You've proven it to me.
Easy, easy now, Howard. Tell me about your dream.
Well, I dreamt I was going home, and all the people I'd killed in my dreams were alive again.
Yes, go on.
Well, somehow or other, I could see my house from this window, and everything was just as it was a long time ago. The flowers were growing, the dog was in the yard.
The one that was run over?
Yes, everything was well again. And I was well, too. That's why I wanted to go home. But you and Marie's mother didn't want me to.
She was in the dream, Marie's mother?
Yes, I don't know how she happened to be there, but she was.
That's all right, Howard. Go on.
Well, I started to leave, Doctor, but she held me back. She held my arms like this. And then you jumped up to ring the bell for help. But before you reached it, I was on top of you like this.
Oh.
I had my fingers around your throat.
Oh, dear.
And I was squeezing it so hard. I could feel your windpipe bending back until you couldn't breathe anymore.
Howard, let go.
That's what you said last night, you fool. You wanted me to let go. Help on.
Until your face turned as blue as it is now.
It was almost black before I let you go.
But first I made sure you were dead.
And then I dropped the body. You see, Doctor, my dreams do come true.
Well, have you had any good dreams lately? Howard has. And you know, his dreams don't need interpretation. No, they need cremation. Say, it's a lucky thing that guy works on the night shift. It'd be awful if he had daydreams, too.
Good gracious, yes. His dreams not only walk, they commit murder.
Mary, I was about to say that. Please leave the jokes to me. How would you like it if I talked about tea? Hmm?
Well, for goodness sake, I listened to the story, too. And I must say, I'm glad I'm not his, dream girl.
That does it. Friends, Let me tell you about Lipton tea.
All right, you win. But it's only because I have something important to say about Lipton's. Folks, did you know that Lipton's is the largest selling brand in the whole world? Yes, and the reason for that is Lipton's well-known brisk flavor. You know, that word brisk is the tea expert's word for tangy, full-bodied tea, for Lipton tea. Lipton's is always fresh and spirited, never flat or wishy-washy. That's why lots of people drink it not just at mealtimes, but whenever they're taking it easy for a minute during the day. So, folks, try Lipton's and get acquainted with that brisk flavor.
All right, that is the first portion of Inner Sanctum Mysteries from October 2nd, 1945, The Shadow of Death. And that stars Richard Widmark. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. First, these words.
Imagine a world free of lung disease. Help us realize that vision. Join WGN Radio at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers on Sunday, March 5th. Register at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100.
And we have something free for our listeners. People like free stuff. I like free stuff.
And you like coupons, too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they're like $8 off.
Yeah. I took Lisa to Stir Crazy. Her dinner was $9.99, and she gave me an $8 coupon.
Such a good sport.
But speaking of free stuff, I produced an audio Bible called The Word of God, and we're giving away the 2-hour Book of Mark. So the whole New Testament is like 22 hours long, and it has amazing actors in it like Kristen Bell and Michael York, Blair Underwood, Sean Astin, Julia Ormond, Malcolm McDowell, Brian Cox. There's amazing actors in this. Hill Harper, Lisa Wolf. You're in this, Lisa. And it's 22 hours long, but we're giving away the 2-hour Gospel of Mark absolutely free. You can digitally download it to any listening device. We also have an app which has all of the entire New Testament on it and the free Book of Mark. So there's two ways you can get this. You can just go to our website, which is wordofgodaudiobible.com, wordofgodaudiobible.com. Click on it. You'll get the free Book of Mark. Or you can search Word of God Audio Bible in the app store of your choice. I don't have even one app on my phone.
No, I noticed that.
But people have
apps.
But
other people do.
Yeah, other people do. And so this is a cool app. You're going to like it a lot. Just search Word of God Audio Bible. Why don't you do it, Lisa? Do it right now. Right now, this very second.
I'll take the free one.
Yeah, it's free. Check
is there
out.
A coupon for it?
No, you don't need a coupon because it's absolutely free. I want everyone to experience this. It's this was like a 2-year production. It Mike Costella was working like 15, 16 hours a day as one of the engineers on this. We had
and didn't you have like all original music and orchestra?
Oh, yes. All of, yes. Yeah. Sound effects. It's a radio drama of the New Testament, and there's like 100 actors in it. And the Book of Mark, which Blair Underwood plays Mark in it, he's fabulous in this thing. You got to hear it. So it's free, and I'd love you to have it. Just go to Word of God Audio Bible. Word of God Audio Bible is what you search in the App Store of your choice, or go to wordofgodaudiobible.com and download the free Book of Mark. All right, Lisa, wake up, because we're listening to Inner Sanctum. You don't want to miss the murderer, how he gets caught, and all that good stuff.
I'll try to stay awake.
1:34 in the morning. Thanks for staying up with us. Lisa and I and Elif and Mike and the whole crew, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night. And it's a good time for the classic radio shows. I think at night these shows play better, you know, as opposed to in the morning or in the afternoon.
Well, the good news is there's a podcast. So anybody, if they want to listen to it in the morning or afternoon, they have that prerogative.
You know, Lisa, that's
you
why you
what,
have two
Carl?
Master's degrees.
See,
that's very
see what
smart
I learned
thinking.
In school? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to whatever you want, whenever
Lisa,
you want it.
Lisa, once in like every 12 years comes up with something pretty exciting.
Yeah. And this
and
is
that,
it, right?
And that is it right
okay.
there.
Okay.
Good
well,
job.
I'm good for the year.
Actually, that's a good
good statement you've made there.
Yeah, because all of our shows are podcast from
Everything
day
is
from day
podcast.
One. Just don't listen to show 1.
No, we don't even say that because it makes people want to hear show 1 when you say that.
We don't want anybody to listen to show 1.
We're a little embarrassed because we were nervous.
Bad. It was so bad.
Carl was bad. Yeah. I mean, I was fine, but Carl,
I was really bad.
He was reading a script that he wrote for himself because he was a little nervous.
I was nervous.
Wasn't ready to take the leap.
I will admit it. I was.
It's like you have a script in front of you and you want to be off book.
I have wanted to be on this radio station since before I was born.
Well, I share that passion with you.
And then, you know, it happened, you know, something that I dreamed about my whole life. And I was nervous.
Right. And rightfully so.
So the show is brutal.
So don't listen to one. But when you say don't, people are going to listen to it.
All right. Start with show like 12 or something like that.
I would say 1 and 2, give us a break.
I would say by our dozen. The dozenth.
But we're at 150.
Is that a word, dozenth?
No, but you can add that to your list of words that you've made up for the night.
I came up with 2 words tonight. Dozenth show.
Oh, that sounds very educated.
By our 12th show.
Dozenth of the.
By our dozenth show.
Well, wait, is it a baker's dozen or a regular dozen?
Well, baker's dozen's 13.
I know, that's why I asked
See,
you.
See, I knew that.
That was exciting, too.
Do you know why they call it a baker's dozen when they put 13? Do you know the reason? Do you know the whole story behind that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So back in the days when the king, you know, there were kings and things like that, they would cut the baker's heads off if the loaves of bread did not weigh a certain amount. You know, like you'd order 12 loaves of bread, and if those loaves of bread were like, you know, they weighed them.
Yeah.
And if they didn't weigh a certain amount, the baker would get his head cut off.
It's like Sweeney Todd.
So what they would do is throw a 13th loaf in there
just to make sure that weight.
They figured, hey, you know, my head's worth more than a loaf of bread. So baker's dozen. That's why they call it that, huh?
Yeah.
I have a little bit of news for you.
Yeah.
Dozenth is a word. Wow. It's in Merriam-Webster.
Dozenth.
Dozenth is a word.
D-O-Z-E,
what do you think of that?
D-O-Z-E and then T-H.
You see how quickly
and
she is?
And what does it mean?
It's
it means
the 12th.
The 12th. Do you
the dozenth.
Elif, do you see how quickly she is to criticize me?
Dozenth.
Elif. Elif.
Hey, Elif. You see right away she was
dozenth. I saw Lisa.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I was like, you know, amused by
amused.
She was just amused.
By whimsy. By whimsery.
Amusement.
By whimsery.
I'm amused.
Is that a word? Whimsery?
Whatever.
Let's check that one.
I'm amused
in the meantime,
by you all the time.
Let's get back to Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Let's get back to our dream man and find out what he does in his waking moments. When we left him last, he had just done a little manual work on Dr. Gerard's windpipe. And now, as the good doctor lies comfortably on the sanitarium floor, Howard is in the process of going through his pocket.
Well, I'll have to have the keys to your car, Doctor. I'll need them to get back home. I hope you won't mind if I hide you under this bed. It may take them a little bit longer to find the body if I do. Yes, who is it?
Dr. Frisbee, Howard. May I come in?
Well, yes. Yes, I'll open the door. What is it, Doctor?
Well, I was looking for Dr. Gerard. I thought he was in here.
Oh, yes, he was a moment ago. I think he went down the hall.
No, I just came from there. I guess he went back to his office.
Oh, yes, I guess he did.
How are you making out, Howard?
Fine, Doctor, fine.
You seem a little nervous. Your hands are shaking.
Oh, well, I...
You see, you've dropped your keys.
I'll get them.
It's all right, Howard. I wasn't going to take them away from you. But I am wondering how you happen to have any keys in your possession.
Well, they're not really mine.
Whose are they, Dr. Gerard's?
Yes. He left them here. I mean...
You mean you stole them from him?
No.
Now, come, Howard. You can't expect me to believe Dr. Gerard would give you any keys. Now, you'd better let me have them. So I can give them back.
But I didn't...
Let me have them, Howard. Thank you.
You won't tell him I took them, will you?
No, Howard, I won't tell. But please don't take them again.
I'll go anyway. I'll get out onto the road and I'll get a hitch. Yes, sir. I'll get away. I've got to speak to Marie. Going down, mister? Guess not. I guess I'm not. Oh, here comes another one. Hey, stop! Give me a ride, will you? Give me a ride, please, mister? Oh, he's stopping. Hey, wait for me, will you, mister? I'm coming. I'll be right there. Gee, thanks, Miss D. You going into town?
Yes, Howard. But you're not.
Dr. Frisby.
Yes, I've been watching you ever since you took those keys. I thought you'd try something like this.
Well, I had to, Doctor.
I understand. Better get in the car, Howard, so we can talk this thing over.
All right.
You know, it's silly to run away from our place up there. If you really want to go home, all you have to do is ask.
I did ask.
When?
This morning. Oh, wait a minute. Don't start the car.
Why not?
There's a truck coming. In back.
Where?
Oh, Howard! Let go of me, Howard!
I've got to have this car, Doctor. When I... finished with it, I'll return it to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Walker.
Who's this?
Howard. You remember me, don't you?
Howard, where are you?
In a telephone booth around the corner.
You're not in the sanitarium?
No, I've been discharged. Dr. Gerard said I could go.
You mean you're well again?
Yes, I'm completely cured.
Oh. Oh, I see.
You don't sound very happy about it, Mother. Where's Marie?
She's out on a date.
When will she be back?
Well, I don't know, Howard. She didn't say.
I've got to see her again, Mrs. Walker. I've got to see her once more before I die.
Before you die?
Yes, I haven't much longer to live. Now, where is she?
Well, I think she said she was going to movies.
You're lying.
I'm not, Howard. I just can't be sure. But if you go to the theater, you might find her there.
You don't want me to see her, do you?
No, not until I've spoken to Dr. Gerard.
Why? Don't you believe me? Don't you believe I'm well again?
No, Dr. Gerard...
Never mind what he said. Mrs. Walker, you mustn't dislike me. I'm very fond of you.
You are, Howard?
Yes. I've been thinking a lot about you lately, while I was in the sanitarium. Last night, I even had a dream about you.
Keep bringing that number, operator. I've got to locate Dr. Gerard.
Why the hurry, Mrs. Walker?
Howard, how did you get in here?
Through the back door. Put that phone down, please.
But I...
Put it down, I said.
Yes, yes.
You lied to me about Marie being at the movies, Mrs. Walker.
I didn't mean to, Howard. I told you I wasn't sure she was there.
Where is she? This time I've got to know.
Howard, how dare you? Get your hands off me.
I'm not in a gentle mood, Mrs. Walker. I'm fighting against time.
You've done something wrong, Howard. You've escaped from the sanitarium.
No, I've done more than that, Mrs. Walker. I killed a man.
Howard!
Two men, three men. I can't remember how many it was, but there's going to be one more.
Howard, you wouldn't kill me, would you?
Wouldn't I? What have you done to deserve your life? Let it ring.
That may be my call.
Your call is coming now, Mrs. Walker.
Howard, please. Put down that knife.
Will you tell me where Marie is?
I told you I don't know. I don't know.
Then I'll wait for her. Right here.
Howard, you can't. No, no, you can't. Oh!
Yes, I can, Mrs. Walker. Hello?
Hello, this is Dr. Frisby, sanitarium calling. Is Mrs. Walker there?
I'm sorry. You have the wrong number. Marie? Marie, darling?
Howard. Howard, what are you doing here?
I've been waiting for you to come home, darling. Aren't you glad to see me?
Well, yes, of course I am, and... it was such a surprise, I couldn't catch my breath for a minute. Where's Mother?
Upstairs. Why?
Well, I just wanted to know.
You had no other reason?
No. Howard, why are you staring at me?
I'm not really staring. I'm just looking at you, darling. It's been such a long time since I've seen you. I'd almost forgotten what you were like.
Let's go inside.
No, if you don't mind, darling, I'd rather go for a ride.
You're all right, aren't you, Howard? I mean, you're completely well now.
Oh, can't you see I am?
Yes, but I... Yes.
Then let's not wait any longer, darling. Come on, we'll go for a ride.
Getting late, Howard. Don't you think we ought to go back?
No, not yet, Marie. You just keep driving. These few moments we have together, maybe I'll... Marie, why are you stopping here?
We're low on gas, dear. I don't want to get stuck on the highway.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am? What'll it be?
You better fill her up.
All right.
And have you got a telephone here?
Yes, ma'am. Right inside.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Marie. What do you want with a telephone?
Oh, I was going to call my mother. She'll be worried about me.
Oh, no, she won't. She knows you're with me. Besides, she went out for a little while.
Well, maybe she's back by now. It won't hurt to call, will it?
No, I guess it won't.
I'll be right back, Howard.
Well, hurry, darling. I want to be with you as much as I can.
Yes, I won't be a minute.
Number, please.
Operator, quick, get me the police. This is an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, right away.
Headquarters, Sergeant Dunn speaking.
Sergeant, listen carefully. I won't have time to repeat it. The murderer of Dr. John Gerard is right here in a filling station on Route 6 at the Hadley intersection. What shall I do? I can't keep him here.
Does he know you're onto him?
No. No, he doesn't know I read the story in a newspaper just before I got home. He was waiting there for me, and I haven't been able to get to a phone since.
But don't take any chances. He's a homicidal maniac. Don't even try to stall him if he wants to leave.
No.
Just stay where you are, and we'll be over there in 4 minutes.
Oh, no, no, that's no good. He won't let me stay here. He'll take me with him.
Marie.
Oh, he's calling for me now.
Marie.
Just a moment, Howard. What can I do, Sergeant? What can I do?
Give me the description of the car, quick.
It's a dark blue sedan. License number 468J3. We've been going east on Route 6. Oh, I can't talk anymore. He's coming.
Marie, for heaven's sake, what kept you so long?
Oh, I had a hard time getting the number. There was something wrong with the lines.
But you were talking to somebody.
Yes, I was speaking to Mother.
You were speaking to your mother?
Yes. She told me not to stay out too late.
You're lying, Marie.
No, I'm not, Howard. I talked to her.
You talked to the police. That's why you lied to
me. No.
You did. Your mother's dead.
Howard.
I know, because I killed her.
Howard.
Be quiet. Get back into the car. You're coming with
no.
me.
No, Howard. You're hurting my arm.
Get back in the car.
Hey, you leave her alone.
Keep out of this, you fool.
Leave her alone.
I told you to keep out of this.
Oh, I know.
Hey, put down that wreck. I'll put it down.
Howard, how could you?
Never mind. Get into the car.
Howard, why are you stopping here?
Don't you know where we are, Marie? This is the cemetery.
Where we stopped before.
Yes. I like it here. It's so quiet and peaceful among the dead. Let's walk through the grounds.
Howard, please.
Why not, Marie? We're among friends. So many of our loved ones are buried here. It's nice to be near them. Come on, Marie.
All right, Howard.
You know, darling, we haven't much more time together. The shadow of death has fallen across our path.
You said something like that before, but you never told me why.
I'm being selfish, Marie. I know I have to die, and I want you to come with me.
Why do you have to die, Howard?
Because I haven't been true to myself, darling. I haven't been true to this power I have.
Power of death?
Yes. I've helped it along sometimes. Like that dream I had about my friend in the sanitarium. Like the flowers in my garden. Like those fish of Dr. Gerard's.
You killed them?
Yes. I knew they were going to die. But I shouldn't have helped them. That's why I'm being punished.
But Howard, why are you punishing me?
I don't want to die alone, Marie. We've been away from each other so much, darling. I want us to be together from now on.
But...
Don't be afraid, darling. I'll be gentle, Marie. So gentle.
But you're making a mistake, Howard.
No.
You are. You've forgotten what you've done.
You can't kill me, darling.
Why not?
Why, good heavens, Howard, don't you remember? Don't you remember that day at the sanitarium? You said you dreamt about me.
No. No, I couldn't have.
Yes, you did. Didn't they tell you what happened?
No.
Your dream. Your dream, it was true. That's why you can't kill me now.
Marie, you mean...
Yes, Howard. I'm dead.
I can't believe it.
Oh, you must believe it. Here. Look at this tombstone. My grave is right here.
No.
Read what it says. Read the name on it.
It's your name, Marie. Your name. Marie Walker.
Yes.
Then you really are dead.
I told you I was, Howard. The shadow of death passed over me.
Then let it pass over me.
Hey, got him, Sam. Got him the first shot. Keep out of the way, miss. He may not be dead yet.
No, I'm sure he's dead.
Well, you certainly had a close call. Took us all this time to locate your car. Finally spotted it on the road. You all right?
Yes, I'm all right. Yeah. The name of my grandmother's tombstone saved me.
How's that?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Say, that's funny.
What?
This guy was shot through the shoulder. My bullet wounds weren't serious enough to kill him.
What do you mean?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but my shots didn't kill him. He was dead before I hit him.
What a shame. Wasting two perfectly good bullets on a guy that was dead all the time. Well, at least they won't have to go far to bury him. Here's one villain who died practically in the middle of his own plot. Isn't it funny how many of our stories seem to take place in cemeteries? Well, before I put the skeletons back in their closets, I'd like to give you a parting word of advice. A body should never be left alone at the morgue at night. After all, it might become slab happy. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Whistling Legs by Roman McDougald. And now it's time to close the squeaking door, so good night. Pleasant dreams.
Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Inner Sanctum Mysteries, October 2nd, 1945, The Shadow of Death, starring Richard Widmark in that. Also in the cast, Santos Ortega and Louis Van Ruten. That was produced and directed by Hyman Brown, as heard on CBS, with Paul McGrath as our host, Mary Bennett as the Lipton Tea spokeswoman. Yeah, she had a great little part there.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. Inner Sanctum, hope you like that. And let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. That's about a wrap, Lisa. When we come back here next Saturday and Sunday, you know what we have?
I do. I have a good lineup here, Carl. I got Gunsmoke, Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show, and Box 13. That will be Saturday night. And on Sunday night, we've got Dangerous Assignment, The Bickersons, and Murder at Midnight.
All right. That sounds pretty darn good.
Well, thanks, Carl.
And look who's in front of us here in the studio.
Hey, I adore the Bickersons.
Bickersons are great.
Don Amici. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the actress.
No, that, Francis Langford.
Francis, oh my God. Yeah. They're so funny.
Hilarious. Hilarious. And we did a little...
We are the Bickersons.
Yeah,
That's the thing. Yeah. So, you know,
we
it's
did a little
our
reenactment
here
on the show.
It just cracked me up, man. I used to listen to it when the CBS radio, and they would run it on like 10:30 at night, I think it was.
Yeah, and you know what? 10:30.
Yeah.
And you know what? There was another character in the Bickersons. It was Danny Thomas. He played her brother, Amos.
Is that
there.
Right?
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, how does Don Ameche not lose his voice?
Yeah.
He screams. They scream. Well, obviously,
They're
it's called the Bickersons.
At each other, yeah.
But he's screaming every single line.
Right.
It's so funny.
Yeah, and then he would be snoring, you know, at first.
Right.
And
she
was an insomniac. She wouldn't let him sleep. He's working all day long.
Such a funny show.
He comes
show.
Home. He just wants to sleep. That's all this poor guy wants to do is
she
sleep.
She needs to talk.
And she's just
talk,
like,
talk.
She's awake all night,
so
you know,
funny.
Trying to talk to him.
Is that next Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay.
Like
oh, yeah.
A week from,
next,
yeah.
That's perfect. And you know what it's like when you want to go to bed. Like let's say friends are over and you're dead tired and they're trying to keep you up. That feeling.
Yeah.
That's you feel that when you're listening to the Bickersons.
Yeah.
So what's on the show this morning?
We got the movie reviews. The SAG Awards were handed out last night.
Yeah.
There were a couple of surprises there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. We'll get a wrap up of the Sundance Film Festival. From Eric Childress, who saw, I believe, 27 movies in 5 days. And he'll review a bunch of those. My dad will call in and tell a joke. Steve Cochran sent me a really interesting article that I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
About how the Academy, as in the Academy Awards, should take horror films more seriously.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree with that statement more. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll do the aggravating SNL quiz.
The aggravating SNL quiz.
Yes. I will quiz Esmeralda and Dan about Saturday Night Live. I know every answer. They'll get it wrong, and I'll get aggravated.